This is The Unholy Union,
a podcast where you'll be subjected to highly offensive marital discourse.
If you do not feel insulted during this week's episode, don't worry, we'll try harder next week.
If you can relate to our ramblings, we want to be friends with you.
If you believe that we take it too far or our mouths are too much for you, then with as much love and sincerity as we can muster, you can suck it.
Welcome to The Unholy Union. Oh, we have a new guest today.
Yay.
Thank you. We have to do our obligatory yay. But her name is Katie Isaac. She's a new special guest to the podcast. She is the owner and creator of Begin Your Shift. It specializes in personal training and nutrition coaching. She's also a wife and mother of three. And she's passionate about food, fitness, homeschooling, and all things that help her to feel her best. Now, we know her as a friend and a neighbor as well. And she is out there every day doing some sort of physical activity. And I envy with how much you accomplish in a day. Let me just say.
Oh, gosh.
Between your business and the way you take care of yourself and your family, like, you are an inspiration to me. And I've actually had the opportunity to work out with you a couple of times as well. We'll get into all that here in just a minute. But I just wanted to say, she is a workaholic, is what, in the best way.
Thank you. I don't know if that's a good thing. No,
it really is, because again, it's an inspiration of how much you can accomplish in a day, where, you know, most people, I think, feel like they don't have enough time to do anything, right? So I really think that what you do is amazing. I will get off my horse. We will talk more about that as we go along. But let's start with, how did you get your start in nutrition, in fitness, all the above?
Oh, gosh, I feel like it goes a long way back. It kind of cycles through. So I grew up as a kid. I danced. I didn't really do any sport other than dancing. I wasn't really actually interested in anything fitness related, you know, when it comes to like running or sports or anything. All through college, I was like, all those people that work out are kind of weird. Running's dumb. Like, don't chase me unless I stole something. And then after college, my roommate had inspired me to just start, you know, moving, like trying to work out. She was really big into running. She was like the opposite of what I was at the time. And I thought, you know, I'll give it a try. And I had done some videos with her and I just loved it. And then I just started to build that routine of, okay, I started with one day a week and I felt great, and 2 days a week. And I just noticed changes at that time. And so I got myself a gym membership. I graduated from my bedroom and like old school workout videos to actually getting into a gym and just researching and reading and asking people questions. And in that time, I had lost weight. I was overweight after college, probably the freshman 30 had hit me after high school. Mm-hmm. And I started to feel good. And it actually went the other end. So I went from being like overweight and not feeling comfortable to being severely underweight, because I didn't understand anything. But once you kind of start getting compliments from people and stuff, you're like, okay, well, this is good. And I went the wrong rabbit hole. In that time, I met John, and he was really big into working out for the right reasons. And long story short, he got me into the right headspace when it comes to fitness. And then we, you know, had kids. I moved to Florida. I stopped teaching. I stopped being an educational consultant. And I was like, I love it so much. I want to help people really get into a space that they do it because they love it and they deserve it, not from a place of you're harming yourself, where I was. So I can speak from a point of, I'm not doing it. You know, it was a mental health thing, right? And I know you guys know like the whole mental health thing. So in dealing with depression or self-loathing or all those things, being able to go from one extreme to the other, I felt like I could really connect with people and educate them in the right way. So that's really what kind of kickstarted my fitness journey. And in that time, I've experimented with different modalities and started to really find my passion for training individuals, for training for multi-sport events like triathlons and obstacle course racing and stuff. And so here we are now.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, three kids later and a whole journey behind you. Does that go into why you called your company Begin Your Shift? What does the name mean?
Yes. So really, it's all about shifting everything in your life to go from where you are to where and who you want to be. And you have to really decide, like, it's not just doing one thing is going to get you there. It's multiple things. You know, everything's connected. Your mind, your body, your life, how you eat affects how you feel. It affects how you move. So when you have to start with your mind first, you have to believe you can do something. You have to have the desire to do something. And then when you shift those thoughts in your mind, and then you can start saying, I'm going to start moving my body and treating it better. Then you notice that when the mind and the body become connected, your whole life changes. And so that's where I came up with Begin Your Shift.
All right.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Boom. Mic drop. We're done. Yeah.
That's all we need. That's the sound bite.
Well, what do you find to be the most rewarding about training yourself and even training others? Because you mentioned that you do personal training, but you also mentioned that at some one point this was for you too. So what do you find most rewarding in both arenas?
I'll start with people first because they motivate me. I mean, I get up at the crack of dawn every day and I'm not mad about it. I truly enjoy it. I get excited to see and I don't call them clients. I call them my athletes. They're my friends. I've developed a really great relationship with them. And I love seeing people do things that they don't believe that they can or think that they're capable of, and taking the initiative, one, to just, first of all, to ask for help, right? Asking for a coach or a trainer is the first step in saying, like, I want to make a change in my life. The second is showing up. That's rewarding enough that if somebody walks onto my parking lot for my early morning boot camps or walks into my garage, they've shown up. Everything else is icing on a cake. But just seeing people do things that they're afraid to do or try new things, grow mentally. Yes, I'm excited about their physical growth, but I see a lot of mental and personal growth with people as well when they devote, you know, an hour a couple days a week to themselves. And for that, like, that moves me more than anything. I think a lot of people look at a trainer and they're like, oh, their number one goal is to get people, you know, to lose weight and be buff. Right. And for me, like, that's probably secondary, because that's why I begin that shift your mind is first for me, because it's how you treat yourself and how you think about yourself, talk to yourself. That's more important than the physical part, because you've got to love yourself. You know, like, mental health is so important.
Well, that's where you came from, you know?
Yeah.
So it translates into your business. I mean, I like that. Because like you said, most people are, yeah, I'm going to make this dude swole, you know?
Yeah. How much can he bench?
Yeah. How much can he bench, dude?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everybody comes to me with a different goal. And that's my job as a coach, is I'm not here to force them into something that I want them to be. I'm here to hold their hand and push them a little bit, make them uncomfortable into who they want to be. And sometimes who I foresee them. Like, you know, I can see that people are more capable of what they give themselves credit for. So I enjoy, that's when I get excited.
Yeah, I've been in a couple of your sessions before and had so much fun, but I was doing it at 5 a.m. So,
oh, dark 30.
My work schedule changed. I need to get back to you though. What time do you wake up?
You know where I live.
What time do you wake up?
Should I be embarrassed? My alarm goes off anywhere from 3:30 to 3:50 in the morning, and I roll out of bed. Depends on what I have on deck for myself that day. And I had a conversation with someone about that, because she said she can't get into a routine or a schedule. And I said, you know, this sounds really selfish, but it's not. For me, I see myself as like the most important person in the household, because I'm cooking, cleaning, taking care of the kids, running a business, you know, you're doing all the things. So when I sit down, I say, what do I need first? And I build everyone's life around mine. And that sounds really selfish, but
no,
so that I can take care of me, then I can take care of everybody else. So that's how I,
if you're not taking care of that, that's the basis of your entire house, like you just said.
Right.
So, I think it's beyond that even. It's, you know, the idea that who's going to take care of you if not you?
Right? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So
John's not.
I mean, maybe we like, you know, outwardly needs, but
yes, yeah,
the internal stuff. Absolutely. I totally get that. That makes
the Isaac household can't starve.
No, they can't. You've seen my kids eat. When people ask, I go to bed early as well. So I'm in bed at, my day has a hard stop at 9 o'clock. And on the weekends, I try to get to bed by 8. I sound lame, but
no, you sound like a mom. Yeah.
I got to do what I have, you know, I got to get it done. So,
I mean, I make it happen. That's what works for you. I couldn't, I don't think I could ever wake up at 3:30 a.m.
I think your mom does you too, though, doesn't she?
Yeah. My mom is.
There's just some people, I guess, who are wired that way, but he's more likely to stay up until 3 a.m. than he is to go to bed. Anyways, we're digressing on that topic.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So how much of training someone, we kind of hit on this already, is mental versus physical? Because you mentioned that you have to change your mind and then the physical comes after. How much of that is truly mental versus the physical and getting stronger?
I think it varies on the person and where their starting point is and the obstacles we have to overcome. Everything's different. Like a workout's different for every person. If I'm training someone for a race or something, I've got to get their mind right for a competition mindset over the physical. So it's hard to say one or the other because they really go hand in hand and it varies on the person. But I think anybody needs to know that if you're going to do anything when it comes to taking care of yourself, you have to get comfortable with getting uncomfortable. You have to know that it's going to suck for a little bit. And a quote that I always love is you have to choose your hard. If you do things hard now, it gets easier later. But if you ignore the hard because you're afraid of it or because you don't want to do things hard, you just make everything else in life harder. So you've got to decide, like, what would you rather do? Getting up and working out too hard, or is having to go to the doctor and not feel well and having aches and pains and stuff? Like, what's your hard? I'd much rather wake up early than
for sure.
Yeah,
we got another soundbite.
Right, he's just dropping the mic every time on every question. Okay, coming in hot. Well, I guess the next question then is, how much is nutrition versus physical? Like, what do you feel about the nutritional aspect versus, you know, the physical workout? Do you feel that both are equally as important? Just like you said, for mental.
Mm-hmm. I think they're both important, but if someone comes to me and is asking for help with the whole package, you know, some people come to me just for nutrition or just for fitness, but if people come to me with everything, I always hit nutrition first because it can be a lot simpler and I don't take things away from people, but I ask them, you know, where you are, what can we add to first to make your life, like, make you feel better. And then we start making tweaks. You know, your nutrition affects everything. It affects your mind, it affects your gut and your brain are connected. And so if people if I had to choose, if people come to me, I would say I'd much rather start with your nutrition first and then go into fitness or adding very simple things like nutrition plus walking or nutrition plus bike riding, things that are very low intensity, like minimal thinking involved, low risk. Yeah.
Powerful.
But I love food. You know, I love food.
Yeah. It's such a crux for some people, but there's others who can do it right. And I don't know, I feel like maybe as a society, we are really bound to what's convenient. It feels like we are all about convenience. And from what I've learned from you and just, you know, following you on social media is that you can still have the convenience and be healthy with it, right? So I don't know, I guess for the convenient aspect, if someone came to you with that, like, this nutrition isn't convenient, what would you say to them?
Well, what do you consider? I'd ask that person, what do you consider convenient? Because you can stop places. I can run into Publix and get something really fast that doesn't need to be cooked and I can feed myself well, right? If I think about, I always tell people, if you can get some like simple protein, some fruits and veggies and a complex carbohydrate, you're good. I can run into Publix and grab some lunch meat, some deli meat. I can grab some hard-boiled eggs. I can grab a piece of fruit, and I can grab some, you know, nuts or a little like squeezy pouch of peanut butter, and I'm good. So if you can, if that, like, that's where, if you need convenience, start super basic there and then build your way up. But I can probably find an answer to every food excuse out there, because you deserve, you know, you deserve to feel well, and you deserve to feed yourself well. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be timely. I don't want to spend all my time in the kitchen. I assess things that I'm preparing for our family. And if I'm going to take longer than 20 minutes, I'm out. You know, 20 minutes is like all I want to give to start to finish, prep, cook, eat. And if you've got older kids, you know, I say like at 5 and 6, kids should start cooking and prepping and helping and taking the load off the family, because they're capable. So nutrition starts as an education piece.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want them to grow up and think convenience is McDonald's, you know?
No. And you know what? I think a lot of this, I grew up, so my parents cooked, my dad worked shifts, my mom worked a lot, and they cooked enough and we ate well, but I danced 6 days a week, and every night on the way home, it was, would you prefer McDonald's, Wendy's, or Burger King?
Yep.
Because my mom would cook, leftovers went to my dad when he worked night shift, you know, it went with him, and it was just convenient. My mom was going through mental health things, and so I can look back and know why, but it's also my job to change that, how I grew up versus how I want my kids to grow up. And I'm not mad about it.
No.
But, I mean, growing up in the 80s too, you know, everything was convenient. So it's like, oh, go to McDonald's, get your toys. I know that's the first thing, like every once in a while, but when you're doing it 5 or 6 days a week, it adds up money wise and you pay for it physically.
For sure. And I mean, but you are proof that it is possible to do convenient, healthy, because you are, I mean, I sit in my office all day because I work from home, and I have my window open 90% of the time, and I see your car going up and down the going up and down the street. I'm like,
in a taxi light. Is it football? Is it dance?
Like, you are proof though that it's possible, because you're constantly moving. I mean,
even with a busy schedule.
Yeah, even with a busy schedule, you're able to eat that way. I mean, I'll be honest with you, we're not on that level yet. We would like to be. But
that's kind of where the question came from, honestly, is that we probably would use that excuse, right? We're looking for convenience. Yeah. We've got so much on our plate. But again, the idea of the things that you accomplish in a day, it's proof and inspiration that we could do it. So again, you are very inspiring, Katie.
Thank you. And I love sharing all those things. If you can go to Publix and grab a rotisserie chicken and a bag of salad, you're good.
Yep.
Right.
There's no. Yeah. And do that. And then, like, what can you add to it? Because you deserve it. And it doesn't have to be fancy.
A McFlurry added to it is not.
Maybe once in a while. But not every night. Not every night.
Well, I guess this kind of rolls into the next question here. How do you do it all? Like, I keep saying that you're an inspiration because of how much you fit in your day. And I truly mean that. I want to know your secret. Yeah. How do you fit homeschool, training, cooking, time for yourself? How do you fit this all in your day? What do you think is your secret to finding time for it all?
Oh, gosh, I don't think there's a secret. I think there's a lot of time I give myself grace on things, and it comes down to a schedule and prioritizing what I need to get done and letting some other things go. And it's really, really hard for me, but finally realizing to ask for help on things. So on Sundays, I sit down with my calendar, I actually sat down before we got on today, and I map out everything that I need to accomplish for myself first, and then for other people. So my clients that I work with virtually, you know, their nutrition plans and their workout plans, and how long that's going to take me. And I map that out over the course of the day, and then the week. And then I start plugging in what I need to accomplish with the kids. And then everything kind of goes from there. I can't say, I don't have a lot of wiggle room. I don't do a lot of like exciting things. So I probably trade getting things done for TV or something. Homeschooling the kids provides a lot of flexibility because we can get a lot of things done on the go in the car, taking it with us. So that's been a huge shift for our family, is having the flexibility because of homeschooling. But I let other things go, like laundry will get done if it gets done. If it doesn't, then somebody else can do it and I'll ask for help. We clean together. I ask the kids to clean. They all have, you know, their own responsibilities every single day. And I had that conversation with them. You know, this is what I have to do for our family. Not have to do. Let me rephrase that. This is what I get to do for our family so that we get to do these things. This is where you need to be a part of the family and help, and also just kind of becomes their part of their education. You know, it takes everybody working together, not just one person.
For sure.
So, yeah.
The family unit is the strong
multitasking.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to share the load.
It took a really, really, really long time.
So people always see you in the now and don't know how long it takes you to get there. Sure. And I'll say it's taken a very long time and multiple attempts at a schedule and planning. And what's working now is going to totally change when school starts.
Yeah.
And it'll totally change again when a sport gets added to the plate. And so I think there's a lot of being flexible with everything too, and not super rigid. Like I'm rigid to an extent, but then I have to realize that things are going to change, things are going to come up, and you have to be okay with that.
Absolutely.
I have a question about homeschooling, because we've always wanted to do it. We just don't, Linz has to go to work and, you know, things like that. But what are the benefits of homeschooling? Because a lot of people, ever since COVID, they were looking into it and they created these pods, you know, where everybody would go to one house and
the co-ops
and things like that. So what do you think the big benefits of homeschooling are that you don't really get if you send your kids to public school?
I think there's so many. I could probably have a separate podcast with you guys on homeschooling, but long story short, you're in charge of everything that your child is learning, what they're being exposed to, what they're not being exposed to.
Yes.
You are participating more in their education at the level that you want. So service level, a lot of people think that you have to do everything. COVID gave homeschool a really bad rap, I think, because it was a scramble of like get everybody on a computer. I mean, ours was miserable. So if I made my decision based on our homeschool experience because of COVID, I would have never done it. Mm-hmm. But I was introduced to a co-op and that made a world of a difference because I had a community to lean on and support me in that. And it was, there were seasoned moms in there as well as new moms. So being able to have mentors, I guess, to help me.
Yep.
But since then, if you've heard about micro schools, they're everywhere now. So micro schools are options for people that maybe want to homeschool their kids, but work from home. Maybe they only work a couple days a week and they're like, I don't know what to do with my kids. It's a drop-off, but it's a like one teacher to eight kid ratio. And they've got the bare basics. Like it's your science, math, language arts, extracurriculars. And there's a lot of fluff taken out. So you'll notice like the days are shorter, the weeks are shorter, but they have the opportunity to get what they need, get in and get out.
Yeah. I mean, that seems a lot better for kids that do struggle too, because one teacher per eight kids, that's more
focus.
Yeah. More focus and one-on-one.
Oh, yeah. You can differentiate. And I had a friend that she works from home. She and her husband run their own business and they have a tutor come. The tutor comes to their house while she's tutoring all the kids. They do their work. And then the rest of the time are field trips and a co-op day. So there's so many options out there. It's finding a mentor to guide you in the direction that would fit your family. And then yeah, you really can create the world you want.
For sure. I mean, you know, the
I'm all about it.
Yeah. For, I mean, it's important to know what your kids are learning at school.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
we've talked about that before.
Yeah,
for sure.
On the podcast, we've talked about that. And I think it's more important now than it ever has been. And I think that homeschooling is probably the best option to know exactly what they're learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know a lot of people want to do it and they're afraid of it, or it might not fit their schedule, but I think you can figure out a way if you really want it. Yeah. And still have your life, right? Like still have your career,
mm-hmm.
even if you're out of the house.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'll just bring your daughter over. She can join the crew.
Yeah, right.
There you go. Okay, next, what would you do tomorrow if you won $10 million tonight? We like to add these little fun questions.
I like this one. This is so fun. I would build my dream training facility.
Oh, like anywhere like near your house? Or are you talking like in of Tampa?
I don't have, it would be here. It would be in this area. I actually had my eye on a place and it didn't work out, but it would be a community training facility that would include a lot more than just fitness training. So I don't want to say too much because it's like a really big, like goalie kind of secret, but yeah, it'd be a place that would be community to work out, to train for other trainers, to subcontract, a community garden, coffee house, like the place where you would want to go to have everything you need, because that's missing. Like people go to a gym and they leave and the community aspect is missing. And there's really not a lot of training stuff on our side of town. You know, you look at any athlete, they're driving to Tampa, they're driving to Lakeland, they're driving to Apopka, Brandon, which we all know if you're driving from this side of town to Brandon, it's like 30 to 45 minutes with traffic.
Exactly.
There's nothing here and it's so needed. So I need $10 million. Bring it on.
That creates a reason why, that creates an excuse of why people don't do it. Mm-hmm. Driving is a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will tell you right now, if it's like over my 20-minute time limit, I'm out. Like Amazon Prime, that stuff to me.
Exactly. I mean, everything society has gone towards convenience. And I mean, it's not a bad thing in certain aspects. Like you just said, Amazon Prime is amazing.
Right.
But
I don't even see it as convenience. I see it as your time is precious. And for me to sit in a car, and that's where I always think is like, I could accomplish XYZ in that time driving. So I'm out. So I will choose getting something done versus driving.
For sure.
Absolutely.
You're on Shark Tank.
No,
I'm out.
I'm out. You're fired.
Yeah, right.
No, I fully believe putting things out into the universe and what's the word?
Speak it into existence.
Exactly. So $10 million tonight, you get your facility and we're speaking it into existence.
Yes.
I'll go play the lottery.
I'll be there.
There you go.
You said coffee, so I'm going.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
You can't have a good workout without some great coffee.
For sure. Mm. We had a spot like that in Northern Virginia. I'm not going to say it had like a community because it was still a gym, but it was a fancy gym and they had
and it was a chain too. Yeah. So it wasn't like personal, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know if you've heard of it. Lifetime Fitness. I'm sure you have.
Oh, we belong to one back in Ohio, pre-kids when you have time and money.
Uh-huh. Right. Exactly. It's outrageously expensive, but it's got everything there. There's a indoor pool, then
restaurant
with coffee. Oh my goodness.
That John and I would go spend Saturdays there. I'm like, we're kind of lame for a date, but it'd be like, you want to work out? Oh, steam room, pool, smoothie. This is fantastic.
Yes.
And I bring my laundry, that would have been it.
Right.
Someone actually lived in one of those for like 30 days or something like that and just stayed inside a Lifetime Fitness and lived there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't pay rent.
They got caught though. I mean, they paid for the membership, but that was it.
Yeah, it's not too shabby.
Yeah,
don't tempt me. Don't tempt me.
Yes.
Okay. So our next one is, what is your favorite thing to do outside of fitness outside of providing services in begin your shift. What's your favorite thing to do?
My favorite thing, anything that involves being on the water. So being at the beach, paddleboarding, kayaking, swimming, fishing. Yeah. I mean, we love our family. Yeah. We know you love fishing, Russ.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a place. I mean, if you look at my logo, it's the sun, the mountain, and the water. And I've got many different meanings. There's like a lot of biblical reference to that image as well. But there's also just, you know, you feel good in the sun, the mountains are beautiful, and the water is like renewal every time you visit it. So,
sure.
All right. So, what is the funniest, craziest thing about Florida living? You've been here a while. You mentioned you were in Ohio and then you moved to Florida. Mm-hmm. How long have you lived in Florida?
9 years, right? 14. Okay. Yeah.
So what's the craziest thing that you have experienced with Florida living?
Oh, God. We live in a zoo.
This is legit. True.
Like, every time I turn around, there's a different animal or creature. And when you have a son that loves all living things.
We saw the lizard. Yeah.
It's like one. Jack Hanna's zoo. Everything. It's like the sandhill between the sandhill cranes, all the gators everywhere. You know, a lizard walks into my garage and now we have it as a pet. Snakes, I mean, you name it. Like, I wouldn't even call it like one specific thing that's crazy, but anytime you turn around, it's like creatures everywhere. Bobcats, sure, why not?
Yeah. I mean, did you see that video of the gator that ate my fish?
Yes. Yeah. And you've seen like the eels that come out when it rains during the hurricanes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mike caught those. Mm-hmm. He puts them in a tank to pet them.
To pet them.
Are they eventually released or do you still have these in your house?
Oh, no. Oh gosh. No, no. We release them and it's a, don't you dare bring that in my house type of thing. But yeah, it's crazy. I mean, 1 year Micah gave snakes to his friends for their birthday. So that's the kind of life we live.
Yeah.
I feel like I remember this.
And their mom did what? Yeah. Like,
right? Oh, Ashley, he dropped it off down the road. Like, he put it in a little Tupperware box with sand and rocks. And it was like, happy birthday. Those are the best text messages we get. Bro. Like, thanks for that snake. It's so
You're awesome. Welcome. It's Florida living.
Yeah.
What can we say?
Florida living. It's like living in a zoo. Yeah, and the weather changes all the time. So the weather and the animals, I say we're living the life.
For sure. Did you see, I mean, you know, the one of the houses on our street, they do a lot of stray cats. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they feed them. Well, one of them was, it was attacked by something because half of its hip was hanging out.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, it was gross. I was like, that is nasty.
Yeah.
Captured
it. Oh, I forgot about the wild boars. The amount of animals I see at 4 a.m. when I'm running.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
People ask me all the time, aren't you afraid? I'm like, it's an armadillo. They're dumb as rocks. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do anything. I have seen wild boar. I have ran face to face with a coyote and we parted ways.
Was it just one?
It was just one.
That's weird.
But yeah, I like stopped out of my tracks and he looked at me. I was like, I'm going to turn around now. I've never ran so fast.
Do you carry pepper spray or a pop gun or something?
I'm the worst. I am probably the worst runner ever. So yeah, we won't get into that though. I don't want anyone.
This is Florida. You don't have to carry a pop gun.
Well, that'd be scary. Like, you know, let's
you can carry a little bit bigger than that.
Okay. I've got my phone and my earbuds, and that's all I've got.
I've got my guns.
And my dog.
She's much faster than you, though, so I think she might leave you.
She would leave me to be eaten alive. Yeah.
Right. You can take care of that, and I'm going home.
Right. Bye, Mom.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming to the end here, but we want to know and we want to make sure everyone knows, how can we find you? Where can we find you? Either social media, email, whatever you want to share. How can we find you, Katie?
On all the places. Instagram, fitmama_Isaac. I try to keep it pretty fitness related. And then social media, I've got everything on there from my personal life and homeschooling and fitness. And then if people, you know, have questions, I always offer a free consultation. If people ever want to talk and ask questions or get guidance, I always do a free 30-minute consultation. So they can schedule that on my website, beginyourshift.com. So all the outlets to get a hold of me.
We'll include all the links in the show notes so that that people can find you easy. And so we're at 38 minutes. Are you going to charge us for 8 minutes?
I am. Yeah. It was a pretty expensive consult. It's $2 for every minute over. Time is money, Russ.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised you're not doing this in your Traverse.
Right.
Interview.
on the way somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Well, Russ, we can keep it going longer. Because then it saves me from chores.
Right. Yeah, I got you. Well, you can always pretend.
Yeah, you want to ask us questions? No, I'm just kidding.
Flip the script. That would be really fun, though.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I told you I would consult you on doing a podcast and your website stuff. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's time to get it started. Why add one more thing to the plate? Let's do it.
Yes.
You do it all. You do it all. I know it.
Exactly.
I know it. Well, any additional questions, Russ?
I am good.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on. Seriously, I'm not exaggerating when I say you're an inspiration. We can't thank you enough for joining. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you so much, guys. This was fun. I appreciate it.
For sure.
Absolutely. We will see you on the homestead.
Yes, we will. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Another amazing interview.
Yeah, I think that one was one of my favorites.
Really?
Yeah, because she, Katie gave us a lot of sound bites. And they were solid. Like, it makes you think.
Absolutely. Like, there is more to physical training, right?
It's
more than that. Do they always say what willpower and like
mind over matter?
Right. Those kind of things. And to her point, it's bigger than all of that. Like once you change your mind, you can change everything else. So
eat well.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can pick up heavy weight and put heavy weight down doesn't mean that your body is doing well. It's a three-piece puzzle: nutrition, mental, and physical.
Craziness to think about, but I agree. I think that was really powerful, the thing she said, and I need to get back into it.
Me too.
Yeah, we aren't the healthiest.
Well, we need to begin our shift.
Ooh, good plug.
Yes.
Yeah, and it'll start by not going to McDonald's. Yay!
I like it. Well, like we said earlier, all of Katie and Begin Your Shift social media accounts will be in the show notes. So please go check her out. And if you are interested and you are in the Tampa area,
if you're interested to begin your shift.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Go check out all of her pages and all of her insights on physical, mental, and nutritional fitness.
Ooh. Good job.
Love you. Bye.
It's what you do with the things you love.